Hey, this is Pastor Aram, and I want to thank you for joining me today for the Activation Church podcast. We are here so that people can activate their life in Christ, and I believe this message is going to help you go further than ever before. Check it out.
I want to welcome everybody who's joining us online this morning. Thank you so much for being a part of Activation Online. If you're ever in the area, please stop by and join us one Sunday morning at 9:30 or 11 o'clock. And we would love if you would subscribe to our channel and click the notification bell so that anytime we go live or post a video, you can watch it. But Christmas season is in full swing. And I'll just be honest with you, and I'm asking that you don't judge me, okay? Because if you do judge me according to Scripture, then you are in danger of judgment. Our family's been ready for Christmas since October. The tree has been up, it's been decorated, we've got lights, the Christmas music is playing, and the Christmas movies are in full rotation. How many of you like Christmas movies? Anybody, by a show of hands, you like Christmas movies? Okay, now on the count of three, I'm going to give you an opportunity to shout out your favorite Christmas movie of all time. One, two, three. Okay, somebody had to do it. You had to say it. Thank you, Andy. Die Hard, listen, if you're watching online, zoom in on me. Die Hard is not only a Christmas movie, it is one of the best Christmas movies of all time. As a matter of fact, I was looking at a list of all-time best Christmas movies today, and Die Hard was on the list, so it is official. All you Die Hard lovers, just put your hands together. We have done it. We've added it to the Christmas list. But the top three are It's a Wonderful Life, A Christmas Story, and Christmas Vacation. One of my personal favorites is Home Alone. That's a movie that I grew up watching. And a few years ago, I decided I was going to introduce Home Alone to my oldest daughter, who was around four at the time. As we are watching it, I realized that this was a terrible idea. My feelings were confirmed when she came flying down the stairs of our house like Kevin McAllister did when his irresponsible parents left him home alone and he had to fend for himself. You know, I always wonder why that movie didn't end with them going to prison for a very long time, but I guess, you know, it's a movie. But you know, the thing about these Christmas movies is we've seen them so many times that a lot of times it's easy to let them just kind of play in the background. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, you no longer sit down with anticipation of, I want to see what's going to happen next, because you already know the story. And so you'll just let it play in the background. Maybe you're working around the kitchen, you got it on. Maybe you're cleaning the house, you got it on. You're folding laundry, you've got it on. Maybe you're on the treadmill. That never happens for me. But maybe if you're on the treadmill, you have it playing in the background, but you're not really paying attention to the details of the story. The reason I bring that up is because it's easy for us to become so familiar with the Christmas story that we just allow it to play in the background of our life. We no longer look at the details. We no longer look at the significance of what was happening. We no longer study the characters and feel the pain and the pressure and possibly the fear of the moment of this first Christmas. But today, as we read the Christmas story together, found in Luke, the first chapter, I want us to look at it with fresh eyes. I want us to come to this almost as if we've never heard the story before, and let's allow what is happening to sink in. Let's look at it from the perspective of those who were involved. Let's understand their fear, their pain, and ultimately how they learned that God can be trusted. And I want you to know that God can be trusted in every season of your life. In the moments when you don't understand what's going on, you don't know why, you don't have any answers, God can be trusted. Let's look at this together. Luke 1, starting in verse 26. The Bible says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was," what was it? Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" That's a valid question. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called the Holy Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." I want to pause right there for a moment, because there was a season of Elizabeth's life where she was barren. She was called barren. When she walked through the city, that was the lady who couldn't have kids. And now she's up in age, but God has given her favor and caused her to conceive a son. The reason I'm saying that is because your current situation does not mean it's your final destination. Just because you're going through it right now does not mean that's the way it's always going to be. For with God, nothing is impossible. I want to say it again. For with God, nothing is impossible. For some of you, there may have been a time where you were known as the alcoholic, but you're no longer that anymore. There may have been a time where you were known as the drug addict, but you are not that anymore. Why? Because God can change your life. He can change your situation. He can take you from depression into joy. He can take you in from being overwhelmed into a place of peace. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Just because you currently feel a certain way does not mean it's always going to be that way. And it may seem like, well, it's taken a long time. I'm getting up there in years. But let me tell you something. God's timing is the perfect timing. We have to learn to trust God. We have to learn to be patient with the process, because through the process, he is perfecting us. I want to say that again. Through the process, he is perfecting you. You may not like the process of being called barren, but it's going to make the miracle that much sweeter. I wish I had a Pentecostal church this morning, because that would have got them fired up. The organ would be churning, the people would be standing, they'd be hooping, they'd be hollering, jumping the pews. But God can be trusted. If you hear nothing else this morning, hear that God can be trusted in the middle of your story right now. You may not understand it, it may not feel good, but God can be trusted. For nothing, in the Greek, that means nothing, will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came into my ears, the baby in my womb, not the cells, not the glob, whatever they call it, it was a baby in her womb that leaped for joy. And blessed, watch what she says, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. That's her confession. From now on, I will be called blessed. Have you ever received an unexpected gift? Like it kind of came out of left field? When I was growing up, my mom was always the one that bought like the really practical gifts for Christmas. She did most of the Christmas shopping. So from mom, we got the underwear, we got the socks, we got the clothes. We got the stuff that we really needed. If we needed a new coat, we got a new coat. My dad, on the other hand, a lot of times we would only get one gift from him, and sometimes it was a shared gift between me and my brother, but it was always an exciting, fun gift. It never made sense, but it was exciting. Like one year he got me a sword, like a real, real sword, you know, which was awesome. One year he got me a mini fridge. Like, I don't know why I need a mini fridge. There's a large fridge right below my bedroom, but hey, I got a mini fridge. But the most unexpected thing he ever got me was living room furniture. I did not have a house. I was living in his, I had a bedroom in his house, and he bought me some living room furniture. He bought me a coffee table and a bookshelf. It made no sense. It was very unexpected. I remember when I was a kid, my brother and I would always go and look at the gifts under the tree, and we would try to find out who had the biggest gift. Anybody ever did that? Like, you didn't care how many gifts you had. You wanted to know that you had the biggest. And my older brother this year had the biggest gift under the tree, and he gloated about it all Christmas season. I've got the big gift. You got the small gift. I'm the oldest son. I'm the heir apparent, you know. I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and they are rewarding me with this large gift. Well, on Christmas morning, we run down, and he tears into the large gift, and as he peels the wrapping back, he sees a comforter. This is a 12-year-old boy. He probably wanted the He-Man castle, but he got an unexpected comforter, and the joy on his face was sucked out, and he had this look like, why? Why would you get me a comforter? It was an unexpected gift. The first Christmas starts with a little girl receiving an unexpected gift. She never saw it coming. And when she receives this news that the angel says, hey, this is a great thing that's happening, she doesn't feel in that moment like this is great. She feels fear. She doesn't understand the moment. She doesn't understand, why me? Why here? Why now? I mean, I've got my entire life planned out. I'm engaged to this man, Joseph. We've got a future planned. I mean, there's going to be a White House with a picket fence, and a baby out of wedlock doesn't fall into my plan. This is inconvenient news. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is inconvenient news. I mean, she's been planning her wedding now. She's on Instagram. She's following all the hashtags. She knows what dress she's going to get. She's already picked out the cake. She's got it all lined up. And now this angel tells her, guess what? You're going to have a baby. Ta-da! And Mary's like, how's that going to happen? How's this going to happen? And now, how am I going to tell Joseph about this miracle baby? I mean, let's just put ourselves in this situation. Josh, you're engaged right now. You're getting married in May. Let's just imagine that your fiance, after church today, you're eating lunch together. You're talking about how good the sermon was, because I know that's probably your normal Sunday conversation, talking about how good Pastor did. And while you're eating your taco, she goes, I'm going to have a baby. You're like, say what? Yeah, I'm going to have a baby. Well, nothing's happened here. No, I know, it's God's baby. Now just imagine, let's just be real about this. It's like we read this story now and we know the outcome and we know the end of the story and we're like, oh, that's so beautiful. Silent night, holy night. It wasn't in this moment. I mean, Joseph hearing that Mary's going to have a baby and it's God's baby, he's probably thinking, who was it really? You say an angel came to your room? Was it Steve? I noticed you and Steve were making eyes at last year's Christmas party. It had to be Steve, right? He's always up to no good. I'm going to kill Steve. No, it's an angel. Now imagine for those of you who are dads out there that have little girls. Imagine your little girl around 13 or 14 years old coming to you and saying, I am going to have a baby. That's a difficult conversation to have. And she expects me to believe that God did it. I mean, there's no track record in their history of God giving someone a baby without a man being involved. So it's not like, oh, well, that makes sense. Susan, a few years ago, you know, I remember reading my Bible stories and there was many women that God just gave babies without a man being involved. I mean, this is a hard pill to swallow. It's inconvenient news, but it's also very dangerous news for this time in history. She would be an outcast. She would be ostracized. She could possibly be killed for this news that she has received. Can you imagine the kind of worry and fear that a little girl would have with the heaviness of this moment in her life? But what we learn through this story is God can be trusted. And sometimes what we view as an interruption in our life is actually an invitation for God to do something for us, in us, or through us that goes beyond anything we could think or imagine. Hear that. Some of the things that we see as interruptions in our life are actually God giving us invitation to go somewhere that we would never go on our own. And that's what's going on with Mary here. Her life is interrupted by this news. But she does not receive it as an interruption. Instead, she receives it as an invitation from a God who can be trusted to do something amazing in her life. She doesn't understand it. Hear what I'm saying? She does not understand it. She does not have all of the details, but she receives the news and responds to it in faith. Sometimes we've got to learn to move beyond our understanding of all the details. I know that we like to have it all figured out. We like to have it all planned out. But with God, we've got to step back and relax. The Bible says in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verse 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And here's the kicker, lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. In other words, God will get you where you need to be if you'll just back up, stop trying to figure it all out, stop trying to work it all out, and trust God that he'll get you where you need to be. And so the first thing, if you're taking notes, write this down. When you don't understand what's going on in your life, you have to remember what he has said. When you don't understand what you're going through, you have to remember what he has said. Mary did not understand this moment. She didn't have all the details, but she could hold on to what God said. You're highly favored. I am with you. This interruption is going to bring the Savior of the world. These are words that she would have to hold on to and build her life on. Not only in this moment, but throughout the life of Jesus, up until the point of his death on the cross, she would have to remind herself, God is with me in this moment. God is doing something through this moment. And even though it's painful and I don't understand it, God is good and he can be trusted. When you don't understand what you're going through, you have to lean on what he has said, because his word is a firm foundation that you can build your life on. If he has said it, he will do it. If he has said it about you, he will accomplish it. So there may be times in my life where I feel alone, and I've got to remind myself that I am never alone, because he will never leave me nor forsake me. There may be moments in my life where I feel insignificant, but I got to remind myself that he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I've got to remind myself that he has a hope for me, and he has a future for me, and that he is working all things together for my good. It may not feel good, but I can stand on his word. I don't stand on my feelings. The news that Mary received did not feel favorable in the moment. But we don't build our life on our feelings. Not as Christians. We have to build our life on his word. Turn to the person next to you and say, build your life on his word. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. What does that mean? His word has the ability to show me something beyond what I see or feel right now. Are you hearing that? His word has the ability to show me something beyond what I see or feel right now. And because of that, I can remind myself that this is just a moment. This is just a situation. This is temporary, and God is going to bring me through this moment. God is going to bring me through this moment. How many of you have lived long enough to see God bring you through some moments? There were some times where you thought, this may be it for me. This may be it for my marriage. This may be it for my family. This may be it for my finances. It may be over, but God has been faithful, and now you're able to stand on the other side of that valley and say, look what God has done. Have you lived long enough to see that? Stop defining your life by your circumstance. Stop defining your life by where you are, and start defining your life according to his word. I don't care what anyone else says. I'm going to listen to his word. I don't care what is going on around me. I am going to listen to his word, and I am going to stand on his word. And I will say, it is well with my soul. It is well. It doesn't feel well. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to tell you, hey, it feels good. No. It doesn't feel well. But I will be well, because he says I am well. I am whole because he has made me whole. I am provided for because he has provided for me. When I don't understand what's going on, I've got to stand on his word and remember what he said. And not just remember what he said, I've got to learn to speak what he has said. Amen. This is a key. Your confession is important. Think about Mary. How does she respond? She says, you know what? People are going to call me blessed. If God says that I'm blessed and highly favored, then I'm going to start declaring that I am blessed and highly favored. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. I don't always feel that way, but that's my confession. A couple of weeks ago, I was walking from the downstairs of the church. I was coming upstairs, and with every step that I took, I began to say, I am the head and not the tail. I am moving forward and never going back. I will only increase and never decrease. Why am I saying that? Because that is what God has said about me. And the power of life and death is in your tongue. And we will be held accountable for every idle, think about that, every idle word we say will be held accountable for. If I don't have anything good to say, Thumper would say from Bambi, it'd be better for me not to say anything at all. In your marriage, when things are looking bad and you get a temper that flares up, it would be better for you to walk away and keep your mouth shut until you feel better about the situation. Because you do not want to speak death or a curse over what God has blessed you with. I'm always fascinated with when God comes to Zechariah and tells him that his wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby in old age. Zechariah has a difficult time dealing with this information. Do you know what God does? God causes Zechariah to be mute until after the baby is born. Why? Because he doesn't want Zechariah messing up with his mouth what he has planned to do through Zechariah's life. Think about that. Keep your confession straight. When you don't understand what's going on in your life, remember what he has said and quote what he has said over your life. The second thing is this. When you want to react in fear, respond in faith. Turn to the person next to you and say, when you want to react in fear, respond in faith. The Bible says, Luke 1:45, and blessed is she who, what? Believed. Blessed is she who believed. Mary heard the word, she received the word, and she responded to the word in faith. Faith is the currency of heaven. I don't know how many times I've said that at this church. Faith is the currency of heaven. When the Bible says that with God all things are possible, it is faith that makes it possible in your life. If you do not have faith, do not expect to receive anything from God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And you can never receive from God what you do not believe about God. When you respond in fear, it's almost as if you are saying, God, I do not trust you. Really, when you boil it down, if you respond in fear, now I'm not talking about having a feeling of fear, that's normal. We're all going to have moments where fear tries to creep in. We're all going to have moments where worry starts to try to creep in and lies and deception are coming our way. But if we live a life of fear, what we are really saying is, God, I don't trust you. I've got to figure this out. I've got to get myself out of this situation. But that's living life based upon your feelings. And remember, we don't live according to what we feel. We live according to our faith. And with him, nothing is impossible. Tell the person next to you, nothing is impossible. It doesn't matter how difficult it seems. It doesn't matter how far stretched it may seem. Nothing is impossible. I don't know the three of you right here, this first time here at church, I don't know who you are, but you need to know that nothing is impossible with God. He can turn it around in a moment. The things that we've been waiting for feels like forever, God can fix in a moment. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust him. He is a good God. He's really good at his job, and he has the ability to bring us through this moment and this season. We don't have to respond in fear. We can live according to faith. The third thing you need to know is this. When you don't understand what is going on, learn to turn your worry into worship. That's a very solid point right there. turn your worry into worship. Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. What is she doing? She's taking that moment that could be a moment of worry and fear and panic and dread, a moment of trying to figure out all the details and how's this going to work out, and instead of worrying, she turns it into worship. And that sounds like a really cute point, oh, worry into worship, but that is a lifestyle thing that we've got to learn. We've got to learn to say, instead of worrying about this, I'm going to begin to worship my way through it. And here's the thing, here's a secret. You're not always going to feel like worshiping. And in those moments, you've got to worship until worship comes. You've got to worship until worship happens, because worship is the only thing that has the ability to turn the situation around and bring the presence of God, which brings the peace into the midst of the situation. And it's really hard to worry and worship at the same time. One will override the other. I'm talking about true worship here. I'm not talking about playing Christian music in the background. See, some of us think if we play Christian music in the background, that's worship. No, you're listening to people worship. Well, I go to church on Sunday morning, Pastor. I'm here every Sunday, and the band, they do a phenomenal job, and I just sit there and let them feed my soul. You're not worshiping. They're worshiping. Hear what I'm saying. It only becomes your worship when you open your mouth and start talking about how good it is. It only becomes your worship when you raise your hands, or you bow your head, or you kneel, whatever it is. There's many different ways that we can worship God, but it only becomes your worship when you worship. And so when these moments come where I feel worry, if I'll begin to open my mouth and start thanking God for how good he is, if I start thanking him for his faithfulness and his love and his kindness and his word, and I start reminding myself of what he is doing and what he has already done, and I truly from my heart begin to worship him, things begin to change. But the problem with a lot of people now is we don't worship. For whatever reason, people will not worship. They'll come to church and be entertained, but that's all it is. It is like a concert to you if you are coming and just listening to the band play. You've got to learn how to open your mouth. And you can't allow fear to cause you to stop. Well, Pastor, I'm just not that good of a singer. Did you know there's a spiritual auto-tune in between you and heaven? So that whatever you release gets auto-tuned before it hits God's ears, and he goes, man, that's wonderful. Do you know that? God is not sitting in heaven going, ooh, that was a little flat, a little pitchy. Go take some vocal lessons before you worship me. Worship is powerful, and that's why we teach on it here. That's why we try to encourage you to get involved in worship. I don't ever want to come in here again and see people just standing. Life sucks, man. When are they going to sit down? So Pastor Armin, get up there and give me the word to change my life. Come on, man, hit me with your best shot. That's all you got? Screw this, I'm coming home, going home, I'll see you next week. And we wonder why nothing's changing in our life. It's because you're a spectator. This is not a spectator sport. This is participation. The band is only leading you into worship, but actually you are a part of the worship team. I wish I'd be a part of the, you are a part of the worship team. The band is not playing to you, they are playing to God. They're not singing to you, they're singing to God. We've got to learn to take our worry and turn it into worship. What are you worried about today? What is plaguing your mind today? Begin to, instead of focusing on that and fixating on that, which has the ability to change nothing, start worshiping
the one who can change all things. When we view the Christmas story as all is calm and all is bright, it becomes distant to us. But when we can see the pain and the problems, it becomes something that we can relate to. Because we all have moments of pain. We all have moments that we don't understand. We all have difficult seasons of our life. But if we can see how God orchestrated and worked through their life, we can learn that God can be trusted in our life. And the story I'm living may not be the story I would write. And if many of us had the opportunity to write the Christmas story without knowing the details of how God was going to do it, we would have written it completely different. But God did it exactly how it needed to be done. And so although my life may not go exactly the way I have planned for it to go, I can see through it all that God is still faithful. How many of you that's your story? Where you are now is not where you thought you'd be when you were a kid. What you're doing now is not what you thought you would be doing when you were a kid. You never thought that that marriage would fall apart. You never thought that that relationship would fall apart. You never thought that that person would walk away. You never thought that you would do this or that you would say that. But it's happened, and you are where you are now. And I want you to know that God can be trusted. And there's still more to your story than what you have seen now. Relax and trust Him. If you're watching online, I want you to learn to relax and to trust Him. I'm going to ask that the worship team would come back up. And we're going to pray, but I want us to end this service with a moment of worship. I want us to worship together. If you're watching from home right now, I want you to just make, wherever you are, I want you to make that your sanctuary, your place of worship. And let's believe that God is going to move and do what only He can do. Father, in this moment, release your peace. God, in this moment, release your joy. Father, we release all of the worry and fear and anxiety, and we bring worship to you right now in Jesus' name.